President Trump and his fake news awards are our topic. We're going to talk right now with Jarrett Stepman. He's written an article called The Founders Anticipated Fake News. Here's what they did about it. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Jarrett, it's so great to have you back on the program. Thank you.
Oh, it's wonderful to be back.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Now, your article was actually written prior to the announcement about these fake news awards, but it deals with the issue of this so-called fake news. So let me start by asking you, what is fake news?
Yeah, well, fake news, of course, there are people try to define it in many different ways. And, you know, whether or not this means, you know, an intentionally misleading story or one that's based on a false pretenses or perhaps one that was based on just bad fact-checking and just wrong facts to begin with. So there are a lot of ways to define what fake news is, but, you know, I would say it's something that's been around for a very long time. As long as human beings have been able to put things in print, there have been both, of course, incorrect news stories and, in many cases, circumstances where people have tried to manipulate the truth and have tried to tell false stories. So this idea of fake news, which became a very common and popular phrase after the 2016 election, is really something, an issue that has been dealt with through most of human history, at least as long as we've been able to put words to print. So it's not a new phenomenon.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. What one thing that comes to my mind is that about 20 years ago, there used to be the TV show called Spin City. And the idea behind the whole thing were, you know, these politicians who would basically spin the truth. And that's the same idea to some degree.
That's exactly the same idea. And I think perhaps now it has become something that's more prominent to people as the Internet has become such a big part of our lives and how stories can spread much faster than they used to. But, you know, technology has changed much through history. I mean, even in the founders' time, the printing press was becoming a commonly used thing. People were able to pick up a publication, a newspaper, much easier than they were in earlier times. So, of course, information could spread much quicker, and of course, at the same time, disinformation could spread quickly too. So, this is not something that suddenly appeared out of nowhere, as if you know, this is a new phenomenon that people would try to manipulate stories for their benefit. It's something that has been around for a long time, and something that the founding fathers of the United States, when they created our Constitution, our institutions, were very much aware of when they created those things, because they knew what fake news was and the problems that that it would have for society.
Would it be safe to say, to just kind of summarize your overall point, that, okay, in giving us free speech, there's always the possibility that some will abuse that free speech and not tell the truth. And but we'd rather err on the side of, you know, having some falsehoods proclaimed out there as opposed to the side of government censorship and trying to control everything that's said.
Absolutely. There was this a great moment in the constitutional debates. This Elbers Gerry was complaining that there was a lot of what would you call fake news in his district, that there were people who were basically bad journalists who were telling lies. So the founders knew very well the problem of dishonest press, but they came to the conclusion that it was far, far more dangerous for society to believe that the government have the ability to discern what is truth and what is false, to have some kind of board say, this is the right story, this is the wrong story. They ultimately decided that it was better to leave it to society, to citizens, to essentially freedom itself would help us come to the idea of come to truth rather than falsehoods, that there was simply no a board or agency or government agency that could determine that truth better than the people could. And even though some false stories would certainly be perpetuated and you know, change politics and things like that, that it was ultimately best to leave these things to the people than potentially have the tyranny of censorship of a government board that tells you what is right and wrong. And, you know, of course, in those situations, that, you know, if the government can censor what is truth and what is not truth, you know, they almost have no reason to create these boards because they have all power over society. This is things that go on in many tyrannical countries that the United States has been very fortunate to avoid in its history.
You know, it's interesting too when you look at some of the contentious political campaigns, you know, of today. But and you think, oh, this is just, you know, can it get any worse? And yet, you know, I remember reading about the 1800 campaign where John Adams and Thomas Jefferson and their friends and their foes, you know, would go after their opponents, you know, in ways that were just shocking by today's standards.
That is for sure. Reading back through some of those accounts, I mean, they're so nasty. I mean, they can't even, the accounts can't even be repeated on air. They were so nasty in those days, too. So I think a little historical perspective is a good thing. When we think that, you know, things today are worse than they've ever been, that we've never seen things like this before, well, you know, if you pick up a history book in earlier times and see how media was in earlier days, it was often very hostile and very negative and aggressive and came up with falsehood and lies and things like this. So, you know, these things are not new under the sun. I think we risk far worse things if we see this as a new and unique phenomenon and create things that, you know, that the founders and their wisdom tried to avoid for us and tried to prevent us from, you know, creating a solution to the problem that is worse than the original disease.
All right. I looked at President Trump's list of, you know, like the top 10 or top 11 or whatever examples of fake news. Here was one of them. Time magazine actually reported that Trump took a statue or a bust of the head of Martin Luther King Jr., which was in the White House, and had it removed. You know, in other words, like, oh, you know, he's a racist. Look, you know, and it turns out it wasn't true.
This I think highlights what I think was very a common theme in the awards that he gave out to these media organizations, and that who I think have done some damage to themselves over the last year, because they've run with stories that, you know, instead of doing the due diligence to do more fact checking. Now everybody makes mistakes, but instead of doing the due diligence and the fact checking, they've been so eager to try to tarnish the president and tarnish the administration that they've botched these stories, which certainly could have influence on public opinion and things like this. So I think the media has done itself a great disservice in the long run by having these stories that are so badly botched that stretch credibility. I think it only makes people more wary of the things that they see in the media. I think polls certainly reflect that. The trust in media is at a very, very low point. People simply don't believe the things that they see. And a lot of these, what you could say is legacy media organizations, people think that, are they being straight with us? Are they being honest? Are they doing fact-checking? They seem a little too eager to cook up stories that simply make the administration look bad or political causes they don't believe in look terrible. So I do think that that is a major problem that we see more and more times, as we see a lot of, you know, kind of activist journalism that's not based on objective facts but based more on activism and wanting something to be true.
Washington Post. Here's another example that Trump touted as fake news. They had a photograph of a rally, a Trump rally, and it looked like, you know, one of today's NFL football games, you know, when it's actually full. But the stadium was half full at best and so forth. And they were basically touting this and then taking Trump's words where, you know, I fill these stadiums up and throwing them in his face. And it turns out, well, this was earlier in the day before all the people who were lined up outside waiting to be screened through security to get in. And it was standing room only. And, you know, there were some people who didn't even get in because there weren't enough seats. So it was a really false idea that you were left with the impression that, you know, Trump couldn't fill this rally. And he most certainly did. They just put a misleading photograph hours before the event had actually took place.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate with some of these stories, too, is that, you know, and this is part of, I think, why the Trump administration highlighted these things. A lot of these fake stories get out into the media. They get out into the public and the mainstream. And people only see the fake story. They never see the correction. They never see the kind of follow-up that says, you know, that story really, it wasn't true. It wasn't based on fact. You know, I think the media kind of sees things as, well, it wasn't quite true, but, you know, it's close enough to truth that, you know, we're going to take it and run with it anyway. I think, you know, calling out these stories when they have been botched after the fact, I think it is a good thing to say, look, I mean, they got things badly wrong. There's now these, you could say, misconceptions out there because of a botched story from a very major news outlet that a lot of people see, and they may not ever see the correction. They may never even know that the story itself was false. So, you know, to a certain extent, drawing attention to these bogus stories that have been, you could say in some cases, have been quite damaging, I think it's definitely a good thing.
How about the main story about the Russian collusion? I mean, there's a whole big, you know, ongoing inquiry about that, which some say is more like a witch hunt.
Oh, for sure. And I think this is a story that, of course, you know, it's been ongoing for the last year. And I think to a certain extent that the public is a little frustrated with this, because every time we hear there's some big story, some big smoking gun, you know, it turns out not to be the case. I mean, one of the awards was the CNN report that came out that said that Trump Jr. had access to hacked documents from WikiLeaks. Well, they got the date wrong in the story, and it was actually the documents had been released already, and it ended up in Trump Jr.'s hands. So these were already public knowledge. But the explosive story that they originally ran with is that somehow he was colluding with Russian agents and got a hold of these documents beforehand. You know, that's a potentially very damaging story that turned out to be completely incorrect. So, you know, I think with the Russian collusion story, which has really been ongoing for the last year, I think, you know, the public itself, the media obsesses over it, but I think the public is somewhat exhausted over so many dead ends and so many times where the media has cried wolf over an issue, and it doesn't seem to be that there's much there. I think a lot of people start to tune out and say, well, you know, I'm not sure if I really trust them. I'm not sure really I really trust what they're reporting on a nightly basis.
That is a great point. Mr. Krugman, Paul Krugman of the New York Times, said that if Trump gets elected, the New York, you know, the stock exchange will just have a complete meltdown. And obviously the opposite has happened. The stock market has made history in the last year or so.
This is definitely one of my favorite ones, because these are the kind of things that they get thrown out at the time. A very, I have to say, hyperbolic statement from a man who is an award-winning economist to say something like the stock market will never recover is a very hyperbolic statement that he put to print. You know, a year later, I think that is getting its deserved mockery, both just on the fact that, you know, it's a ridiculous statement no matter who's president, but, and, you know, of course he's trying to undermine, you know, the President Trump and things like this, and I think it's good to call out these people and say, look, you know, you claim to be this expert, you claim to know what's going to happen in the future of the country, you put your opinions in these columns, you know, people can call you out and say you've made these ridiculous claims that, I mean, just seem absolutely absurd, especially now in hindsight. It's good to call out those things and say, hey, you know, maybe these people aren't the bearers of all truth.
Hmm. You know, and this is a maybe off topic, but not really, because the bottom line is how we get our news and information. When you look at some of the social media outlets that are so big, like Facebook and Twitter and Google and so forth, and you're starting to see some of these gatekeepers keep out, quote-unquote, fake news, keep out things that they deem as hate speech. You know, all of a sudden, sometimes pro-life messages, Christian messages of, you know, this sort of that. And I'm not talking about hate-type speech. I'm talking about traditional biblical values-type messages, you know, are getting censored by these big outlets. Now, that's not the government acting. That's these large groups. But they have a monopoly of sorts.
For sure. I think it's something that certainly worried a lot of people when Google, which is an enormously powerful company.
Yes.
I mean, Google has in some ways more power than a lot of governments do because of the way they're able to transmit information, came out with this basically this tool that, you know, fact checks. And of course, it was almost entirely a conservative or right of center websites. And there were a few crackpot sites in there as well, but it didn't have any what I'd say is liberal-leaning websites on their fact-check list. And I have to say that it appeared to be very partisan and very biased. And, you know, I think it's good that a lot of other media took them to task on this issue. I think it has to be pointed out that these companies, look, I mean, we believe very strongly in this idea of free markets and things like that. But, you know, big corporations and companies like this are not always benign in their intentions, and they certainly have their own ideology that is at play. And so, you know, I think exposing the companies like Twitter or Google to some of their partisanship and really censorship of media that they don't like is something that has to have more attention brought to it than we've seen in the past. It is definitely a worrying thing when these big companies are able to, of course, exert so much power over the information that we receive in our lives.
Boy, that's so true. Well, we're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us, Jarrett Stepman. We'll link to your article about this, dailysignal.com, for more information. All the best, Jarrett. Thanks again for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.